Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
You've finally broken loose from work. Three friends, one tea time, and then the text. Honey, there's water in the basement. Not exactly how you pictured your Saturday. That's when you call us, Cincinnati Insurance. We always answer the call, because real protection means showing up, even when things are in the rough. Cincinnati Insurance. Let us make your bad day better. Find an agent at CINFIN.com.
All right, let's kick off this deep dive with a question directly for you. Imagine criminals were constantly probing your home's digital defenses.
Uh-huh.
Not, you know, trying to smash a window, but looking for a back door into your smart lock, your cameras, your network.
Right, the digital side.
And what if that was happening maybe 8 to 10 times every single day?
Wow.
Or like some homes we saw in the source material, over 12,000 hacking attempts. In a single week.
That's staggering.
Would you even know what was happening? The old saying tells us a home is our castle, but in the age of smart devices, are we building fortresses or just putting up really convenient, really vulnerable walls? That scale is kind of terrifying.
It absolutely is. And the reality is the motivation hasn't changed.
Yeah.
That ancient hunger of predators, the desire to exploit what others have, it just found wildly new, incredibly efficient hunting grounds.
Yeah.
What's fascinating here is how the source material frames this reality. It's like a modern fable, really.
Yeah.
It takes the classic Three Little Pigs story and drops it squarely into the connected age. The wolf isn't just huffing and puffing at your front door anymore. It's much smarter now.
And that modern wolf is precisely what we're here to unpack today. You shared some incredible source material with us about the state of smart home security, the risks, and critically, how to actually defend yourself.
Yeah, there's a lot there.
So our mission in this deep dive is to pull out the absolute most important insights from that stack of info. Mm. We want to help you understand the real present dangers posed by this evolved wolf and give you concrete ways to truly protect your home.
Right. Not just make it automated and easy.
Exactly. Make it genuinely secure. Let's dive into this modern fable. Okay. Let's open the book on our first little pig, Connor.
Mm.
Picture him. Tech enthusiast, loves speed and convenience above all else.
The typical early adopter, maybe?
Sort of. When he set up his smart home, his philosophy was basically, how fast can I get this working? His approach. The digital equivalent of building a house out of straw.
Okay.
He used the same ridiculously easy password, something like Connor123, for every smart device.
Oof. Big mistake number one.
Right. Put everything on his main home network. Ignored update notifications like junk mail.
Just clicking remind me later forever.
Totally. And disabled anything that slowed him down, like two-factor authentication. It was all about getting the smart features running now.
And as the sources make painstakingly clear, that chase for convenience left him wide open. Let's look at the specific vulnerabilities his straw house had.
Okay.
That Ring doorbell he installed. The sources detail how some older models, if not properly secured or updated, could literally broadcast his Wi-Fi password in plain text.
Wait, plain text? What does that mean for someone listening who isn't deep into tech?
Great question. Plain text just means the password wasn't scrambled or encrypted. It was sent out openly, essentially visible, to anyone with the right tools scanning the network nearby.
Say, like leaving your house key taped to the front door.
Pretty much, yeah. And his smart TV, which he never updated, was a textbook example of aging tech vulnerability. The sources listed 17 known security flaws for that specific model.
17?
Yeah, some of which could be exploited remotely. But the single most critical weakness, highlighted repeatedly as enabling the majority of smart home breaches between 2023 and 2025 in this material.
Let me guess. the password.
Password reuse. You got it.
Ah, using the same password everywhere. Like if one online account gets breached, they instantly have the key to everything else.
Exactly. If that Connor123 password got leaked from, say, a minor online forum he used, criminals now had the key to his entire smart home ecosystem.
Oh, man.
This was the entry point that enabled notorious cases like James McCarty and Kaya Nelson compromising over 117,000 Ring accounts. And the outcome wasn't just robbery.
What else?
These breaches led to horrific swatting incidents where armed police were sent to victims' homes based on false reports made through their own compromised systems.
No way. That's awful.
And chilling harassment, including perpetrators talking directly to children and elderly residents through in-home cameras and speakers.
That's incredibly disturbing.
The sources also documented what they called a thermostat takeover epidemic. Think Nest devices being controlled remotely.
Just to mess with people.
Sometimes, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Cranking temperatures to 90 plus degrees. But sometimes it was strategic because the thermostat sitting on the main network became an easy entry point to map and infiltrate other devices.
Wow. Okay, so the wolf in this story wasn't just brute forcing doors. The sources show they were incredibly sophisticated. They watched Connor first. How did they do that?
They turned his own connectivity against him. They used snippets of audio caught by his smart speaker.
From the speaker itself.
Yeah, potentially. Accessed recordings from his camera systems, again, using that weak password. And perhaps most insidiously, correlated information from his smart thermostat data.
Like when he was home or away.
Exactly. Seeing when temperatures changed, indicating he was home or away, and linking that with his social media presence, those geotagged posts from his phone showing him at a restaurant or on vacation.
Directly linked his online life to his physical address and schedule.
Precisely. They pieced together the daily routines when he traveled, when his girlfriend visited, even dug up personal details like his mother's maiden name or his first pet's name from information he'd used in online security questions or shared publicly.
They built a complete profile before ever attempting to break in.
Yeah, meticulous reconnaissance.
So they knew exactly when and how to strike. What did the attack on the straw house look like?
Well, with that initial weak entry point, the doorbell, compromised via the reused password, they didn't just gain entry, they gained control.
Total control.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
They stole physical property, of course, his TV, laptop, valuables. But they also used his smart speaker to order thousands of dollars worth of items shipped to other addresses.
Using his voice commands? Or just the linked account?
Likely the linked account. Because his laptop was set to auto log in and connected to the same network, they accessed his banking information.
White mare.
They changed his smart lock codes, locking him out of his own apartment when he tried to return.
Adding insult to injury.
And perhaps most chillingly, they left behind digital calling cards, screenshots of his routine schedules, photos of his girlfriend taken with his own cameras left on a USB drive.
Just to show they were there watching.
Exactly. A message. The outcome for Connor was devastating. A $47,000 loss. His insurance claim. Largely denied.
Why?
The policy had a clause for inadequate digital security. Essentially, his network hygiene was so poor they considered it negligence.
Wow.
The detective on his case summed it up perfectly, according to the source. Connor hadn't built security. He'd built a scarecrow. It looked like protection, but it offered no real defense.
A really tough lesson. Okay, so let's turn to the second little pig, Marcus. He's an engineer.
Right. Saw Connor's disaster.
Yeah, he saw Connor's disaster firsthand and thought, okay, I need something stronger. He built the stick house.
Makes sense. Learned some mistakes.
He invested in better-known premium smart home brands, Ring Pro, Yale Smart Locks, Nest Protect smoke detectors, Philips Hue lighting.
So better quality stuff, presumably more secure out of the box.
And he also adopted some better practices. Unique passwords for these new devices, enabling two-factor authentication.
It moves.
Creating a separate guest network for visitors. He even paid for professional monitoring. His setup felt more robust.
It was definitely an improvement. He used good, solid brands, sturdy sticks, you could say. But as the source material points out, with crucial insight, Marcus made a fundamental mistake.
What was that?
He was still focused on defending the perimeter, the outside wall, like the wolf in the old fable. But the new wolf attacks from within.
Ah.
By exploiting the very technology designed to protect you, or more often, by exploiting you. This is where Dr. Sarah Chen enters the story. She's the modern wolf specializing in social engineering.
Social engineering. That's not hacking computers, but hacking people, right? Exploiting trust.
Precisely. It's exploiting human psychology, trust, and common behaviors. Dr. Chen's method, detailed in the sources, was simple yet brilliant. She impersonated a utility worker.
Okay, classic tactic.
The example used was Potomac Electric. She had a plausible story about smart grid interference in the area and needed to run a quick diagnostic scan on their home network. The ask.
Let me guess. Turn off the security for a minute.
Just to temporarily disable his Wi-Fi security for 5 minutes so her tools could connect. That's it.
And he fell for it because she sounded official, maybe had fake ID, knew some technical jargon.
Exactly. She was convincing. Plausible story, maybe a uniform, some confidence. And that temporary 5-minute window is all her automated tools needed.
5 minutes.
Yep. With his network briefly unsecured, they mapped every device, identified the brands and models, and critically found an unpatched firmware vulnerability on his premium Ring Pro doorbell camera.
Firmware. That's like the basic operating system of the device, right? Not the app, but the core software.
That's right. It's the low-level software that makes the hardware work.
Mm-hmm.
And this specific vulnerability allowed her to install a back door.
A hidden way in.
A hidden access point that looked like a normal part of the camera's software. The wolf was now inside the stick house, not through huffing and puffing, but through a Trojan horse disguised as a utility check.
And his security tech was the very thing that provided the entry point.
Ironically, yes.
So the attack on Marcus's stick house happened while he was away on vacation. His expensive system was armed, professionally monitored, everything seemed locked down, but it didn't matter, did it?
Not once the back door was in place. Dr. Chen wasn't attacking from the outside. She was controlling things from within his network.
So how did she defeat his defenses? He had monitoring, sensors.
She infiltrated the system itself using that back door. She installed video loops on his cameras.
No video loops. What do you mean?
So when he checked the feed on his phone, he saw recordings of empty rooms on a loop.
While someone was actually inside. Oh, my God.
Unaware that her physical partner, a burglar named Ray, was actually inside the house in real time. She compromised his sensors, putting them into a maintenance mode so they wouldn't trigger.
Clever. And terrifying.
She defeated his smart locks using that same firmware vulnerability she'd exploited earlier to open doors remotely. And she disabled the professional monitoring.
How? They're supposed to call the police.
By sending false, all clear signals from his supposedly secure system, telling the monitoring company everything was fine, hijacked the communication.
So while Dr. Chen was neutralizing the digital side from afar, Ray was just walking in.
Exactly. And Ray exploited surprisingly basic physical weaknesses Marcus had overlooked.
Like what? He had good tech.
A sliding door without an extra physical lock, a blind spot near the back fence not covered by cameras, because Marcus assumed the smart tech did it all.
Over-reliance on the tech.
It was a coordinated cyber-physical assault.
Mm.
Marcus watched the looped video, completely fooled, until credit card and bank alerts started flooding his phone hours later.
That's a horrifying realization. He had all this tech, all this monitoring, and he was still blind to the break-in.
The damage was significant. The sources note he lost around $89,000.
$89,000?
Yeah, which included not just property loss, but also hefty corporate data breach penalties because Ray accessed sensitive files on Marcus's home office computer.
Because it was on the same network.
On the same network as the compromised smart devices. The FBI agent on Marcus's case delivered a stark lesson. Marcus wasn't fighting the physical burglar. He was fighting a sophisticated network that attacked his trust, not just his locks.
He was fighting the last war.
Exactly. His stick house collapsed because the wolf didn't blow it down. It found the gaps between the sticks and exploited them.
The sources really emphasize the evolution of the criminal here, don't they?
Absolutely. The modern criminal toolkit goes far beyond a crowbar. They use tools like Google Maps and Shodan. That's a search engine that finds internet-connected devices worldwide.
So they can find vulnerable devices from anywhere.
Potentially, yes. For reconnaissance, before they even approach a property, they employ AI-driven phishing emails or deepfake voice attacks for social engineering.
AI phishing, wow.
The sources also highlight the documented vulnerability of many smart homes during power outages or internet disruptions.
Hmm.
Systems built entirely reliant on connectivity can go completely dark.
Leaving homes unprotected.
Exactly. And the convenience trap for the stick house dweller, even if they use unique passwords, comes from things like skipping crucial software updates, having a single flat network for all devices, or relying on technology that has inherent, unpatched weaknesses.
Okay. Two houses down, two failures against this new smarter wolf. But there was a third pig, David.
The cybersecurity consultant.
Right. He learned from his brother's mistakes and built something different, the brick house.
Built to last, presumably.
His philosophy wasn't about buying the most gadgets. It was that security is a process, not a product.
Oh, that's cool.
And you build a fortress, not just a flashy, easily breached castle. He combined technology, community, and human intelligence.
That layering is the crucial difference. David's defense strategy, inspired by the sources, was like building the rings of a castle.
Okay, break that down. What are the rings?
His outer ring wasn't even tech initially. It was community intelligence. He organized his neighbors, Mrs. Patterson, Mike the nurse, even the tech-savvy teenagers down the street.
Getting everyone involved.
Yeah. They had secure communication channels, shared information about suspicious activity, and coordinated camera coverage across multiple properties to eliminate blind spots.
So neighbors' cameras could cover each other's weaknesses.
Exactly. The sources cite compelling examples of this working. Cameo federated cameras helping track suspects, or Flock Safety LPR systems, license plate readers.
I've heard of those.
Which a 20-year police veteran called the single greatest tool for reducing local crime. It's about coordinated extra eyes and ears. Yeah. Programs like the O'Fallon Police Camera Registration Program are formalizing this.
Smart. Okay, wing two.
The second ring was physical hardening. Reinforced doors and frames, strong window locks, strategic motion lighting, even thorny bushes planted near vulnerable windows.
Old school stuff still works.
Absolutely. These simple barriers make physical entry much harder and slower, buying crucial time. He used grade one deadbolts, the highest residential security rating, to back up his smart locks.
So the smart lock wasn't the only lock?
Correct. Redundancy. The third ring was his layered digital defense. He didn't have one flat network like Connor or Marcus.
Ah, segmentation.
Exactly. He created separate networks for different types of devices.
Mm-hmm.
One for automation devices,
mm-hmm.
lights, plugs. One strictly for security devices, cameras, locks. One for personal computers and phones, and a separate guest network.
Okay, network segmentation. So it's like having separate rooms with separate locks in your digital house rather than one big open floor plan.
Precisely. If someone gets into one room, they can't just wander everywhere else. He used enterprise-grade equipment.
Which means?
Doesn't just mean expensive. It means reliable, with more control and robust features. Managed switches, for example, allowed him to control which devices could talk to each other. His firewall had AI threat analysis.
AI again, but for defense this time.
Right. Meaning it learned what normal network traffic looked like and flagged anything unusual instantly. His cameras had local storage in addition to cloud backup.
So if the internet's down, he still has the recordings.
Yep. He implemented AI threat detection systems like Netgear Armor or DarkTrace, actively monitoring for suspicious behavior on his network, not just known viruses.
Okay, that's three rings. What's next?
The fourth ring was human intelligence. He didn't just rely on tech. He trained himself and his neighbors on common social engineering tactics.
Fighting fire with fire, almost.
Kind of. They had verification protocols if someone claimed to be from the utility company. They had a specific number to call independently to verify it.
Yeah.
No taking someone at their word at the door.
Smart.
And David practiced counter-surveillance, simply paying attention to his surroundings, noticing things like Ray the burglar casing his house days earlier.
Just being aware. And the final layer.
And finally, the inner keep. Backup systems. Battery and cellular backups for critical devices like his security network in case of power or internet outages, redundant local data storage, and crucially, human backups. The neighbors knew what to do if systems went offline.
A complete system.
Oh.
So when the Wolf Network, Dr. Chen and Ray, turned their attention to David's brick house, what happened? Did they even stand a chance?
They barely got started. Dr. Chen drove through the neighborhood doing her initial reconnaissance, just like she did with Connor and Marcus. But David's community outer ring immediately spotted her.
The neighbors were watching.
Mrs. Patterson noted the car. Mike got photos. The teenagers ran the plate legally via online public records. They communicated instantly on their secure neighborhood app.
Wow.
They used their verification protocol, calling Potomac Electric directly, and confirmed she wasn't a real employee. They alerted David and the police before she even got out of the car at his house.
So when she showed up at his door with the utility story,
David already knew who she was. He was ready. He calmly answered the door and, knowing she was fake, simply stated that he'd already verified with the utility company that no such work was happening and that local police were on their way.
Huh. Caught red-handed.
Before she could even attempt her social engineering script, she quickly left. Ray's physical attempts later also failed.
Why?
The combination of the physical hardening making entry difficult, the constant community watch covering all angles with cameras, and the sheer visibility meant he couldn't operate without being seen and reported.
Nowhere to hide. And the final coordinated cyber-physical assault during David's dinner party when they planned to hit while he was distracted.
That was the ultimate test, and the brick house held. The criminals assumed David and his guests would be easy targets, but David's guests were his trained neighbors.
Oh, brilliant.
When Ray attempted to exploit a brief moment of distraction to breach the physical perimeter, it triggered multiple layers. Motion sensors and neighbors watching, who immediately raised the alarm.
The human layer again?
Simultaneously, Dr. Chen launched her digital attack. But David's layered network, the segmented security network, the firewall with AI analysis, instantly flagged her activity as abnormal.
The tech kicked in.
It wasn't just data coming in. It was the type of commands, the pattern of attempted access across different device types. The system automatically isolated the affected entry point and sent high-priority alerts to David and his human backups.
So the tech worked, but the community layer was already activated too.
Exactly. It wasn't just tech responding. It was informed human beings acting on timely alerts and prearranged plans. The outcome was the complete opposite of the other pigs. David wasn't robbed or terrorized.
Yet criminals got caught.
The criminals were caught and arrested due to the combined efforts of his system and the community. The sources really highlight David's lessons. Layers, community, simplicity, and system design, not complexity and planning for smart, evolving attackers.
The castle looks impressive and makes you feel powerful, but the fortress, built with intention and layers, is what actually stands unbreakable.
That's the takeaway.
That layered approach, integrating people and tech, makes so much sense. So, zooming out from the fable, what does all of this mean for your home right now, listening to this? How do you start building your own brick house?
It's definitely not about rushing out to buy the most expensive gadgets. That's Marcus's mistake, in a way. It's about building smarter security, piece by piece.
Right.
The sources provide a fantastic framework for actionable steps, broken down by effort and cost.
Let's start with the immediate low-cost stuff. What can someone do right now, maybe under $200 or even for free?
Okay, number one, the absolutely crucial step. Change every single default password on every single device you own. Router, cameras, smart plugs, thermostats, everything.
Get rid of admin and password 123?
Please. They often come with easy-to-guess factory passwords. Second, create that separate guest network on your router specifically for your smart devices, your IoT stuff.
Why is that so important?
It isolates them from your main computers and phones. If one smart plug is compromised, it can't easily jump to your banking files or personal data. Segmentation, like David did.
Got it.
Third, enable automatic software and firmware updates on every device possible. Many vulnerabilities are fixed in updates, but if you don't install them, you remain exposed.
Don't ignore those pop-ups.
Exactly. Fourth, disable any features you don't use voice purchasing on a smart speaker if you don't use it. Remote access features you don't need. Less active features means less potential attack surface.
Makes sense. Reduce the ways in.
As Pedro Canawati from 1Password points out in the sources, just one compromised IoT device can be a gateway to your entire network if it's not isolated.
One weak link.
And Joe Robertson at Fortinet stresses that many low-cost IoT devices are simply not built with security in mind from the ground up. They might lack basic encryption or a system for providing updates at all.
So these immediate steps address major red flags the sources highlight. Hard-coded passwords, no updates, no encryption, and a single flat network.
Pretty much covers the straw house vulnerabilities.
Those sound like essential first steps that address the Connor level mistakes. What about a medium investment? Maybe $200 to $1,500. Moving towards the stick house, but doing it right.
Right. Here, you start layering on more robust technology and services. Consider professional monitoring, having a third party actively watching for alerts from your system.
Like Marcus had, but integrated better.
Potentially, yes. Invest in quality smart cameras positioned strategically recognized. Remember Marcus's blind spot. Think about coverage.
Yeah.
Look into smart locks with more secure authentication methods. Add contact and motion sensors to key entry points. This is also the phase where you can start coordinating camera coverage with close neighbors, like David's community ring.
Sharing feeds or just aiming them smartly?
Maybe just aiming them smartly to cover common areas or blind spots. Or look into battery and cellular backups for your router and critical security devices so they function during power outages.
Keep the system alive when the power's out.
Crucial. And the sources provide compelling ROI here. Insurance companies like Allstate and Hippo offer smart home discounts.
Oh, yeah.
Up to 5% or even 13%, potentially saving you $59 to $281 annually. And preventing a single burglary, which averages a $2,416 loss, according to the sources, far outweighs the typical system cost of $15,600.
So it can actually save you money in the long run, not just provide peace of mind. And for the long term, building the full fortress, the David model.
That's where you might bring in a professional cybersecurity consultant to assess your specific home and network, integrating your disparate systems so they truly work together seamlessly.
Getting expert eyes on it.
It involves actively organizing or participating in community watch programs like David did, potentially looking into shared camera networks or other local initiatives. Community power.
Right. Yeah.
And it's about future-proofing, staying informed about evolving threats and planning for future upgrades. Security is an ongoing process, not a one-time installation.
Because the wolf isn't going to stop evolving.
Not at all. The sources look ahead, mentioning the future threat of AI automation enabling attacks at unprecedented scale.
More bots trying to break in.
Yeah. The potential for smart home data to be exploited in cases like domestic abuse. And the sheer volume of attacks. The analysis finding over 12,000 attempts on one home in a week is a stark reminder of the constant probing.
It's a constant barrage.
And the geographic origins are global, indicating organized criminal networks. It's not just lone hackers.
But defenses are evolving too, right? We're not helpless.
No, absolutely not. We're seeing emerging technologies like quantum encryption that could secure data in new ways, AI being used for predictive maintenance to fix system vulnerabilities before they're exploited.
Using AI defensively.
Initiatives like the U.S. Cyber Trust Mark, aiming to give consumers clear security ratings on devices, and state laws pushing manufacturers to build security in from the start.
So things are improving.
They are.
Yeah.
The key takeaway remains. Security isn't static. The wolf keeps adapting, and so must our defenses. It's a continuous effort.
So let's circle back to our fable. You've seen the straw house, built purely on convenience, collapse instantly.
Yeah, Connor's story.
You've seen the stick house, relying on disconnected tech and overlooking the human element, crumble when attacked from within.
Marcus's hard lesson.
And you've seen the brick house, built on thoughtful layers of technology, community cooperation, and human vigilance, stand strong and actually catch the wolf.
David's fortress.
The source material makes it clear. The choice of building materials for your digital home is yours. Will you choose convenience, sophistication that's easily bypassed, or true layered security?
And the most powerful lesson from this deep dive, I think, building on the source material, is that in our increasingly connected world, the strongest defense isn't just found in digital firewalls or physical deadbolts alone.
It's the combination.
It's in the strength of community and human vigilance working together. The wolf may be smart and strong, yes, but the sources demonstrate that 30 neighbors coordinating, looking out for each other, and sharing information are far smarter and exponentially more effective.
The numbers back that up.
They do. Homes with layered security see 60% fewer break-in attempts. Community coordination reduces local crime by a significant 39%. And professional monitoring, when properly integrated into a layered defense, improves police response success rates by 300%.
Those are powerful stats.
Really drives home the effectiveness of that layered, community-integrated approach.
Think about that final image from the Sable in the sources. David's phone chimes a neighborhood alert about a suspicious van circling blocks away. But instead of fear or panic, he and his neighbors exchange a look and a smile. They know exactly what to do.
Yeah, they've got a plan. They're prepared.
That's the quiet power of the brick house in action. Think about which ring of your brick house you can start building today.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
You've finally broken loose from work. Three friends, one tea time, and then the text. Honey, there's water in the basement. Not exactly how you pictured your Saturday. That's when you call us, Cincinnati Insurance. we always answer the call. Because real protection means showing up, even when things are in the rough. Cincinnati Insurance. Let us make your bad day better. Find an agent at cinfin.com.